Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is presented by Shaxbury Cider.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, we're celebrating 10 years of food radio. For the past decade, we've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and more. It's been 10 years, and we're just getting started. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to the Speakeasy and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, buddy.
I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
You can technically, today's the 30th.
Today's the 30th, so still we can say Happy New Year.
You can still say Happy New Year, like, a month in, right?
Indeed.
I think that's really kind.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you can say that in February or March, whatever.
You know, every single day is the new year from the day before, or it's a year past.
That's why I always...
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, exactly.
No, it doesn't.
I just go with you, whatever you say. But I always tell everyone Happy New Year, but I also say good morning to everyone, no matter what time of day.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
I know that's
so I don't know what time you woke up.
Truth.
Like you usually wake up right before we record the show.
Truth.
Which is 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey.
Hey, man. No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
I work late.
Yeah, that's true.
I do try and get myself out of bed by 11:30 every day, though. But I don't get moving or out of the house until 1.
When it's last call, you can technically say good morning.
That's true. Good morning, everybody. It's time to go.
Good morning. Now leave.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, man?
Same old stuff. Getting ready to move into, you know, a quieter season, I guess. You know, it's been a busy holiday season. Then we moved into, January, which I think people... It's weird. It's a kind of a weird flip. January is busier than I would expect it to be, especially given so many people do...
I was going to say the same thing.
Especially people do dryuary, right? Dry January, which you think would affect the bars, but I feel like maybe that's an excuse for other people to go, hey, you know, the bars aren't going to be empty. I'm going to go out to the bars.
No, dude, I've thought this way for years now. Like, you think comparatively getting through the holiday season that January and February are going to be slow, but then, like, it never really is, especially in New York City, really, because people get so stir crazy because this is like really when the winter weather is kicking in.
Yep.
And then you're like, all right, I gotta get out of the house. Yeah. It's gonna suck, but like, I gotta get to a bar.
Yeah, I can't just be cooped up in my apartment.
Or honestly, working in like more like restaurant style bars in the wintertime, it kind of makes more sense too. Like in my experience, because like,
well, your bar, Grand Army, has that beautiful actual working fireplace.
We have a
That's
fireplace,
a huge draw.
It is
like for people gather around that thing like literal moths to a flame.
It's true,
but well, like hopefully they don't burn up in it, though.
But even like when I was working at Prime Meats for all those years, you know, like people would go out and like, you know,
R.I.P. Prime Meats.
Indeed, you've got like heavy winter coats on, so you can like hide the like all the heavy food you're eating. You know,
exactly
packing on the weight for the winter. But yeah, man,
yeah. We'll have a little slowdown, I think, in February is when people start really looking at their tax returns and suddenly they realize they owe money or maybe they're getting money.
But then there's Valentine's Day, you know, like
here comes
the most famous made-up holiday in the world. So people come out for that. It's a thing.
It's a thing. What we
never
do,
stop partying, apparently.
What we do is a thing. There's, you know, I feel like, you know, it's always the same excuse can go both ways. Why was the bar so busy last night? Oh, it must have been because of the snow. Why was the bar so slow last night? I think it was because of the snow.
Exactly. There was like a game on or like
exactly.
The Oscars or whatever. You know?
Any answer can go both
I always
ways.
Wanted to make a magic eight ball with all those. Like, why were we slow last night? Why were we busy last night? And you just nailed it. Like,
yeah.
It's all the same.
The answers are always the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, enough talking with you.
Yeah.
Why don't you introduce our
usual
guest today?
Opening banter.
Oh, I know.
The guests, you know, the listeners get ready to hear what we got going on.
Yeah.
Today in the studio, we've got a friend of mine who I met a little over a year ago, I guess, Angel Vasquez. She runs an Instagram account called The Cocktail Portal, which has currently somewhere close to 225,000 followers. Angel, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
So good to see you.
It's cold here.
It's cold. Yeah. you're from California. I get it. You're on the coast over there with Damon now that he lives in San Francisco.
Yeah. California native. So I this is a first for man, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, I don't want to cut in too deep, but you're relatively new to travel in general, right? You grew your whole life up out there, but you didn't really go any place until this thing came along.
It's true. I grew up in a family of modest means, and traveling for our family just seemed like a luxury that was unattainable. I mean, we didn't leave the continent, much less the state. I mean, if we went anywhere, it was to Las Vegas, which was 4 hours, a 4 hour drive. But
right, the family truckster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was over a little over a year ago that I got my passport, and I'm so happy that I'm breaking that thing in. It's fantastic. Yeah.
I mean, weirdly similar to me, right? I guess now we're into the third year since I first traveled outside the country, and it's a bug. I can't stop.
Really?
Yeah.
That was it?
That's it. Huh. And now I've been to dozens of places.
And you wear a fucking kilt sometimes. Like, that's...
I do. I'm a Renaissance man.
Wow. Amazing.
I'm a Renaissance man. So talk to us a little bit about how this whole thing got started. Like what, most of the folks we have on the show are kind of directly in the business. You're sort of an adjunct to the business or adjacent to the business. What is it that drew you into this, and how did you start this Instagram account that's so wildly popular?
You know, I'll be really honest. What drew me to it was the booze.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's a totally fair answer.
Interesting.
This shit's expensive. All joking aside, I was a full-time photographer and, you know, starving artist, figuring out ways to fill my calendar. And so I diversified my portfolio and I broke into real estate. I had been doing weddings and portraits and broke into real estate, doing vacation rentals in Anaheim, with the Disneyland there, very popular.
It's a Mickey Mouse operation.
Yeah, right. And then I was trying to break into food because I'm really passionate about chefs and cooking, and that's my forte. I'm a home cook and enjoy it. So in doing so, it just went nowhere. But I just kept putting it out. Honestly, I kept putting it out into the universe. I want to travel by way of my camera, and I had no idea how. I didn't even know if it would happen. I didn't think it would, honestly. And it seemed like the universe conspired on my behalf. And it just happened organically. My very first edit, who's now my really good friend, Peter Barriga, he was the first one that I approached. And I had just recently crossed over into video. And so, you know, I asked him, I approached him between a photography gig for the food, and I asked him, hey, why don't you let me do a video of you making me a drink? And I had no idea what I was capturing, but I always knew that was my favorite.
You were just like, by the end of this video, there'll be a drink, and I guess I'll have to drink it.
Right, but that's always been my favorite seat in the house. Before this is at the bar watching them work. It was, to me, highly entertaining. So when I captured it and I edited it, I thought, wow, that looks like a lot of fun. That's really cool. And so from that one edit, I started approaching other bartenders and I started stalking them on Instagram and social media and finding any kind of news articles that I could about bartenders in LA. And right away, I found some of the best.
Were you still tying this into like, I'm going into this restaurant to shoot and there's a bartender there that I want to video?
Well, honestly, my big part of my favorite pastime was going to a bar and adulting. I mean, I finished raising my kid. She's an adult now, and now I get to have me time. And so it was one of my favorite pastimes. Some women like purses and shoes. I liked sitting at a restaurant and at a bar.
I'm one of those ladies, too.
Yeah, but you like shoes.
I like boots.
Boots and hats.
Yeah.
Boots and hats, yeah.
So it just seemed to happen organically. And
so what were some of the first bars that you like were hanging out? Were you going to like Tiki Tea?
No, so, and that's the thing, too.
I always like to throw in Tiki Tea whenever I can in the show because I love that old tiki bar.
You know, I'm yet to go there. My daughter's, my daughter's told me that. I know. I've got to go there. I've heard so much about it. It's just there's so many bars and so little time.
Yeah.
Truth.
There's a, you know, obviously L.A. has a wealth of cocktail bars, especially some cooler, older ones that have survived. Obviously, it's a different drinking experience, too. In L.A., like, even, like, going to, like, the Chateau Marmont and, like, hanging out by the poolside and having, like, a shitty fucking drink that you pay $30 for.
Right.
You know, like, but it's the whole, like, you're probably going to hang out next to Keith Richards or whatever. Right. But then you've got, like, the, what's it, the 213 group who has, like, the Golden Gopher and the Seven Grand and the Broadway Bar and stuff like that. They've been around for a long time before, like, the cocktail renaissance even started.
Of course.
And then you've got places like Varnish, you know, like the back of Coles, Harvard and Stone, obviously.
Yeah,
like
Aaron Polsky.
The Normandy Club, you know, stuff like that. There's a really cool kind of canon of
yeah, there's a breadth of places you can choose from.
I've got to be honest, I didn't know about any of those places. It was a local neighborhood restaurant that Peter was working
before,
at.
You mean?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started, my very first edit, and I wasn't aware really of craft cocktails. And that first drink he made me, it was a riff on an old fashioned and he lit the zest of the orange. And when I saw that, I was like, I knew what happened and I was just blown away. And then I was hooked. Like, what
is this?
That
little piece of showmanship.
Yeah.
Right? That brings him in.
Right?
I've always loved, like, that kind of drew me into it in my early days too. Like, you kind of feel like a, you know, like, your infancy, you know, going into it. It's like, you know, whenever, like, you've got, like, kids at the bar, depending on what state you're in, you know, kids can sit at the bar. Like, I used to make the joke back in the day that, like, a lot of my best regulars were, like, under the age of 10. He was like, you're shaking a cocktail shaker? It's like a fucking baby rattler.
Well, it's cocktail king literally made a baby rattler that looked like a cocktail. Exactly. I think it was a dog toy, but it was a fucking baby rattler.
Yeah, exactly. it's like that excitement. Like, and let's be honest. Every fucking buddy in the world likes to see shit set on fire.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
If you can do that with a cocktail.
We are drawn to flames. I mean, it's true. You know, ever since the first fire started, we all gathered around it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's romantic. It's fun. It's
pyrotechnic. Yeah. It's exciting. It's
dangerous.
It's dangerous. I think we love danger.
Yeah.
Drinks are somewhat dangerous. You know, you're imbibing some poison.
That's a drug.
You know, to a level that you know you can handle, hopefully.
Yeah.
And hopefully you do handle it. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you overindulge.
Speaking of, we actually have some grams in front of us. So
I'm just drinking some rye whiskey. It's ching ching.
Cheers.
Chin. So nice to have you in. So how did it go from just a little single edit of a guy making an old fashioned with a flamed orange zest into, I don't know, what's the first stage? When did you hit, I don't know, 50,000 followers?
So what I did is I put it up on my food page and it went nowhere. Nowhere.
Yeah,
two views.
The two paths don't really cross. Because I'm a former chef and current bartender, and like the people, when I post food stuff, it's kind of like, womp, womp.
Right. So something kept gnawing at me to split my page. And so I did. And it's funny because it's sort of one of these experiences that you can't really explain other than the moment I did it, I got these intense butterflies in my stomach. And it was really powerful, and it lasted for a long time. Now, that's happened to me probably two other times in my life, and it was when I won a raffle or, like, something was coming. Wow. So I thought, what is this? It was really, really powerful, and I didn't know what was happening. But it sat there for probably a good 2 to 3 weeks, and then it was March 15th that I split the page.
Beware the Ides of March.
Beware.
And then
danger.
And then April, Easter, I woke up to my phone just blasting, just bzz, 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 bzz. I was like, what is wrong with my phone? So I checked it out and followers were just flooding in. I mean, they just kept coming and coming. So it honestly hasn't stopped. So I've been doing it'll be 3 years in March.
Wow.
A 3-year climb from zero followers to 250,000.
Yeah, you know, I have to be honest too. I got obsessed. I became obsessed with the technique and why, and then suddenly the history and the prohibition, how we went through it and lost our way, and what we got back was basically shit, you know, sugar and yeah. booze. And if it came from a gun, it was like no one blinked an eye.
Yeah. You know what's interesting to me about this is
that we're in it for the effect, not for the craft.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but like you with this social media platform, you were learning along with a lot of the people who are following you. You're like kind of learning at the same time, right?
Right, because
like,
3 years ago is still, I mean, I don't even know, how old is Instagram? It's still relatively early in the Instagram field, right?
When I started...
I'm old as fuck, so I you got to ask someone else, man. Old.
Yeah, fist bumps.
Yeah, when I first started, Instagram was only allowing 15 seconds.
15 so seconds of video.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like a minute?
Now it's a minute.
Yeah, okay.
And then they have their Instagram TV, which they allow for a lot longer.
Instagram TV, Instagram Live, so all, stories.
The thing that's interesting to me about this is like, going back, it's like you were learning about cocktails and the history of the spirits and cocktails and the whole technique and all this stuff. But you're also learning about essentially the technical aspects of the social media platform, like all at the same time. And you're just like crushing it.
It was a new world for me, and I was fascinated.
Especially if you had to distill it like that.
Well, yeah.
Distill it down to 15 seconds where now you have a minute.
Right,
especially
right.
Especially for any kind of video work.
Right. But I like to tell people, I jokingly tell people, that I've had an accelerated degree program now in like bartending, and down to the lifestyle that you guys lead. Like when you arrive at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you say, good morning, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've learned a lot of bartenders, their lifestyle, booze, technique. I've traveled to London and Hong Kong and Thailand, and I always ask questions because I'm really fascinated. Why did you just do that? You know, why are you doing this? And then bartenders like me, they actually will spend time with me and humor me.
Don't like you. We love you.
That's right.
You know, I just to interject a little bit there. Also, it's like those kind of like the questions that you're asking, like why did you do this? Why did you do that? Like a lot of times, you know, whenever I'm like writing an article or writing a training manual, and like Souther writing his book, I'm also like still working on my book. It takes forever.
It's coming. It does.
But the thing is, like, there's a lot
you
of.
You can't all write a book in 6 months.
That's true. Yeah, on a fucking iPhone.
On an iPhone.
Yeah. But bragger.
So
humble bragger.
No, the thing is, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, as bartenders, we kind of don't realize we're doing. And it doesn't translate. It's hard to translate that through any kind of written word because of the fact that it's kind of just like second nature, you know, like understanding, you know, whenever you know, as a chef or cook, like whenever you hold your knife a certain way, like yeah. they're like both hands are doing something.
Yeah.
It's right. Not just about holding this knife over here. It's the way that you keep your fingers curled over here.
Exactly.
So you don't cut your fingertips. Like those are things that you're like, all right, chop the onions. But you're like,
what does that mean?
You have to, the thing is, you need to explain I think how that's done.
A great
right?
example that I used when I was telling people about, you know, writing the book, how how meticulous I was about writing methodology down, because, and this is a crazy thing, but it's true. I remember watching Mork and Mindy as a kid, and fucking, you know, Robin Williams is there, and he's making a cake or something for you know, Mindy, Pam Dauber. I had a crush on when I was a kid. And he's reading the recipe, and he's doing the things as he reads it, right? And he says, take 2 eggs and separate them. And he looks over, and there are 2 eggs in a bowl, and he grabs them, and he moves them apart. He separated 2 eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you have to understand what is the reader reading and what's their understanding of what you're saying,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, chop an onion, that means a lot of things. So you got to be like, well, there are specific words you can use to understand what kind of chop I'm looking for, and then you can just explain it.
Like, give it a lemon twist. You just take a lemon, you just start...
Yeah, twist a lemon.
Twisting the lemon.
The whole lemon, yeah. Plunk it in.
Yeah, which I think speaks to the level of commitment it takes on bartenders, because that's telling me that you spend years learning that word. It's now become second nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You do a lot of stuff that you don't even realize you're doing. Like any kind of asshole who's like riding around on a city bike and like talking on the cell phone at the same time. It's like...
Yeah, man.
Oh, well, you know, after a while, you can kind of get away with doing that, but
in the beginning, you might want to watch your P's and Q's. Well, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. We'll come back and keep talking to Angel Vasquez from the Cocktail Portal, a Instagram account that's sweeping the nation.
Sweeping.
Standing on the rock where Moses stood, Pharaoh's army got drowned. Oh, Mary, don't you weep.
This episode is brought to you by Shaxbury Cider, who believes cider can be daring, complex, and eminently drinkable. Located in Vergennes, Vermont, Shaxbury make a broad offering of ciders, from the bright and fruity rosé to inventive small-batch wild apple fermentation. Each fall, Shaxbury takes to the hills of Vermont to forage for the wild and forgotten fruit that make up their Lost Apple Project. Shaxbury, producer of the first American-made Pet Nat cider, continues to experiment every year with limited edition ciders designed to spotlight locally foraged fruit. To learn more, visit Shaxbury.com or follow them on Instagram at Shaxbury.
Are you enjoying this podcast? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. My name is Jimmy Carboni, and I'm the host of Beer Sessions Radio here on HRN. My show is an audio ale salon celebrating the world of craft beer, cider, food, and more. Through discussions with industry insiders and knowledgeable beer fans, my friends and I explore every aspect of the brewer's craft, from grains to pint glass and tasting to toasting. You can find Beer Sessions Radio wherever you listen to podcasts and on heritageradionetwork.org.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on heritageradionetwork.org. In the studio today, we have our friend Angel Vasquez of the Cocktail Portal, and we were just chopping it up those onions.
Chopping it up like onions.
That we don't know how to cut yet.
Separating eggs.
Separating eggs. Twisting lemons.
So you said you put out into the universe, as it were, that you wanted to travel via your camera. And you've done that. But how still did that happen? I don't understand. You took a lot of great videos and photos and you posted them on your Cocktail Portal, and then suddenly you're invited to go other places. How does that transpire? How does that manifest?
So it runs a myriad of reasons how and why. A big thing, which is nice, is that my daughter is fully grown, so I'm not raising a child anymore. So that allows me the freedom to be flexible with my schedule. But honestly, it's various types of things, and marketing now is understanding that social media is part of marketing.
Yep.
There were a lot of PR firms who wanted nothing to do with me. Like, they didn't like influencers because we were getting types of results that they, you know, and that there's an ROI, and there's a lot of stuff that you can track and that you can't, and so it's still in this vague gray area where people don't really know how to use this sometimes. Sometimes they do. So the way it works for me is it's not usually any one business or one organization that pays for me. I have to go and bust my ass and make connections. Sometimes I'll connect with hotels and say, hey, I'll showcase you. Can you give me a media rate, or can you, you know, connect me, or I'll do this and this and this. I mean, it's a negotiation on many levels. And then there's also certain companies out there that are trying to collect influencers and market them under their umbrella. Mm-hmm. There's some spirit companies that I have worked with in different ways. I've covered cocktail competitions. I got to be a judge for the Fernet competition last and cover it as well.
Damon's a big fan of Fernet. I am too, but Damon's a bigger fan.
It's a bartender thing. I mean, bartender's handshake. Yeah. Which I have a couple coins.
It's a bartender booty shake for Damon.
I don't have to carry coins anymore. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. Since they came out, I don't think you needed one then.
So, and like, for instance, this trip was self-funded. I mean, I just wanted to come out because I know people out here.
Because New York City.
Exactly. It's New York City, but remind me never to come in January again.
Yeah.
For someone from California, I would say maybe come in the summer.
I don't want to be here either.
Yeah. I definitely want to come back for BCB.
Oh, rad. Yeah.
Park Hunter, Brooklyn, yeah.
Yes.
That's a really good time in June coming up.
Yep.
It'll be here before we even know it.
Our friend Angus Winchester running that whole show again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And we met, by the way, a year ago when you came out and shot me. Shot me. I did the Whiskey Smash, Dale DeGroff's version, and you shot me at Coup when it was still had a physical location.
Right.
And then apparently this year, you told me when you got here this year, I was top 10 of the cocktail portal. Man. Top 10, what does that mean? I was top 10 viewed.
No, it, so.
What does it mean? I don't know.
I usually come up with the top 10, and it's basically great bartenders who are in the industry, affecting change.
Thank you.
A great presence, great technique. They know the classics. They understand history. I mean, just the whole hospitality. They have an understanding and impress the hell out of me. And I got my camera in front of them.
I think what probably pushed me over was that you also have an account that's like your B-roll, right? And I was on the blooper roll because I was like I was like fucking up and swearing. God damn it! So shoot it again. Start from the top. Just like here on the radio, except we're live.
Well, you know, it's funny because you finished the cocktail and then you're like, I didn't put the booze.
It's important.
So then we will go back and we do it again and you forgot something else and you're
the bitters,
all,
yeah.
Fuck me.
How did you forget bitters?
Man, there's a camera facing me. It's like
I thought you hearted bitters.
It's like one in the afternoon, which is 7 in the morning for me. You know what I mean?
And that's another thing too, is now because the page has grown, when I show up, people are really starting to shake, and I feel bad for them. And I loosen them up. And
I usually like to stir.
it's
a bartender joke. God damn it.
Tremble. People are starting to tremble because a camera is pointed at them that has 225,000 potential viewers.
Yeah.
And like, they know, where it's going. And, you know, I often tell them, I'm a photographer. If Annie Leibovitz came to watch me, you guarantee I'd be shaking.
Right.
Yeah.
I dig it.
I'd be stirring.
You said...
I keep calling that one back. It's good. It's so good.
You said...
I came up with a joke the other day, by the way. I want to tell you.
You want to tell it now?
Yeah.
Lay it on me. Go ahead. We got time.
I used to...
I'll drink to that.
You drink. Yeah. We'll drink while you tell the joke.
It's on brand here.
All right.
It's a bad dad joke.
It's my favorite. The hell, so yours.
I used to eat drunken noodles... But then I got soba. Thank you. I got a snort out of that.
Wow.
Okay, anyway, moving along.
Oh my God, it's hilarious.
While she's shaking that off, I want to mention something about... I mentioned dryuary earlier. I don't like it. I think it's stupid, people. I don't think you should do it. It's not moderation when you go black and white, when you go on and off. That's not moderation. What I encourage you to do instead... Pick a day of the week that you don't want to drink, and don't drink on that day all year long. That'll be 52 days over the course of the year. That's more moderation than not drinking for 30 and then going right back
to it. It's almost 2 months rather than 1 month.
I mean, but also it's moderate because it's throughout the entire year instead of all at once.
I feel like also, you know...
And then you don't have to beat yourself up and say, I can't drink for this whole month. If you miss a Tuesday, fine. There's a birthday party, whatever. Okay, but no big deal.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, like I totally agree with what you're saying, but the... The shock that, like you said, going totally like black or white, you know, like it shocks your system. People, like most people that I know who do, especially in New York City, mm-hmm. when they do the dry January, it's cold as shit here. They stop drinking. It's a shock to their system. And then they end up getting sick, like really sick.
Yeah, sure.
Based
Agreed.
On that.
Agreed. Okay, that was a sideline.
Anyway,
I wanted
we're
to come
doctors.
Back to you. On the,
I know. I mean,
listen to all our advice. We are medical doctors.
I get it though, because now I'm in the industry, and so what's happening now is I have to have on days and off days, and it's every other. It's like, and I'm still filming. And the thing is, too, is that people are like, "Okay, Angel, you're drinking a lot," and it's like, you have to also understand, I'm going out to these bars, especially when I'm traveling. I'll hit 2 to 3 bars a day. And not that I'm drinking all the drinks, but it's someone placing their art before me. And it's not like I'm going to say, thanks, today's my, you know, I can't drink today.
Sure you can.
I will taste and I will stay level-headed. And, you know, unfortunately, today is my off day. But it's not easy because sometimes really amazing stuff is put before you. So
I have a lot of off days.
2 sips, you know.
But it doesn't have anything to do with booze.
You can take 2 sips. That's also moderate.
I'm always off.
You can take 2 sips. That's also moderation. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Say you have a day where you say to yourself, I will finish drinking
today,
and tomorrow I'll only taste them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, okay, off the air, you mentioned you had a story that involved Damon Bolte. I'm curious to hear it.
Oh, man.
Since, as far as I know, you just met him when you walked in.
Was it when I was a doctor?
I have. No,
you're on the show, doctors.
So after I filmed with you at Blue Quarter, walked around the area just to see what was there, and Angel Share.
Oh, of course.
Well, you got to go to your namesake bar.
Wow.
So I ended up at Angel Share. That place, I'm very impressed. Oh, so yeah. Good. So good. Well, I was sitting there. We got there pretty early because we were roaming the area, and we were able to get a seat at the bar. And they sat this gentleman next to me, and he heard me talking to the bartender, and he inquired, well, what is it that you do? And I told him, and he says, you know, you have to go to Grand Army.
I've heard of that place.
Nice.
And he told me about you. I was like, you know, you're the second person to tell me that I need to go there. So
I had just told her earlier the same day.
Yes. So
did you catch this guy's name?
I didn't, but I have a picture I'll show you after. So he's a regular there.
Okay, cool.
That's pretty rad. You enjoyed Angel Share. That's, you know.
So wait, Souther, told her to go to Grand Army.
I did.
Wow. You didn't tell her to go to like one of your other 500 bars?
I was like, go to Maury Margot and Windmill. And then
if you have time.
Esnuda, and after all that, go over to see if you can.
And if you get bored.
Yeah. I tell
it. It's not last call yet. You can make the Grand Army.
I did want to connect with you, but I have limited time. So, and I had already.
We all have limited time.
Yeah.
We're all going to die. Yeah. Jeez. Just got really bleak.
Morbid.
Hey. Just a thing.
That's great. Did you go?
I didn't have time.
When are you leaving town?
I leave Thursday.
Did you plan on going this trip?
So, and that's another thing, too, is usually when I get into town, if I can connect with one good bartender, the circuit will light up for me. Go here. You need to go here. Because they know where to go. And so that's usually how it goes down. So next time I come in, I'll come see you.
In the summer. We can also connect out west because I live part-time in San Francisco.
Oh, awesome.
I'm in L.A. pretty often, too.
I go out there pretty often.
Yeah, right on.
You need to get over to see Aaron Polsky. Film him. He's great. He's first of all, Aaron's going to freak out when I say this. He's a beautiful man. He's very tall and good-looking, especially when he doesn't have a beard.
I think it's a prerequisite for the industry or something, because they're all beautiful.
This guy looks like a 70s rock and roll star. He's got a huge, curly hair.
He looks like Brian May from Queen.
Never wears a shirt that isn't unbuttoned down to his belly button. You know what I mean? Like,
buttons are a technicality that he does not subscribe to.
Yeah, they're optional.
That's something that I want to do, actually. I want to do a calendar.
Oh, yeah. He's your guy.
Oh, my God.
Mr. September. I don't know what he is.
I'll get his contact. Anyway,
I just imagined the calendar from Zoolander.
He's at Harvard and Stone, and you should also go and do, Yale Stormborn. You should go get Christine Wiseman. I'm sure you know all these names out there in L.A. They're all friends of ours, and I'm sure they'd be happy to be videotaped by you and immortalized on the cocktail portal. And then on the B-roll, too. I'm sure Yale would have a lot of mistakes that could go on your B-roll. She's a character. She is.
Indeed. She taught me how to twerk one time at Grand Army.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's great.
Let me see. Show me.
It's a good thing it's radio and not TV.
Very slender, little young white lady teaching Damon to twerk. All of these pieces sound like they belong together.
Yeah. We have fun here.
Yes, we do. Okay, so now what's next then? What's the future of the cocktail portal? Now you're getting to the place where your camera travels you. You're getting some funding from other sources. You don't have to consider going back to whatever wedding portrait photography anymore. Hopefully that's gone. What's the next step?
So I'm always looking for ways to showcase the industry. And I really want to do something where I showcase the bartenders. I did a little segment of what it's like to hang out with bartenders. And it was...
It's like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Minus all the microphones.
Exactly. So we also took Cocktail Portal without the in it, and I populate that with my things outside of the bar. Another project that I'm passionate about is in L.A., people don't take the train like they do here.
Right.
So what I started, and I've released my first episode, is I wanted to show people in LA. I can't tell you how many people in LA are like, oh, that's dangerous, or oh, they were just intimidated by the whole thing. So I created a video of showing them how to tap their card, how to buy it, how to get on, where to get off, where to walk, and here's a sea of beautiful bars. So my first episode was in Highland Park, and it's just fantastic. You don't have to worry about, you know, driving afterwards, and that was something that I wanted to show people to do. I got a bottle of one of those.
But sorry, yeah. I just pulled out a bottle of Highland Park from our studio bar.
The speakeasy bar.
Yeah.
Have you ever, just quick segue, or sure. Sidebar, have you ever been to the bowling alley, the Highland Park bowling alley?
I have.
The place looks amazing. I want to go there next time I'm in town. Anyway,
I would love to send you the link so you can see where else you should drink in that area.
Well, I used to live in like Silver Lake, like area, like Echo Park.
Gotcha.
Zone.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
So, and I mean, it's just a matter.
It was Los Feliz, but anyway.
It's just a matter of like what doors open and sort of me pursuing what I become passionate about. Something that I've been thinking about is I'm really passionate about bar owners and the struggle that it takes for them.
Struggle is real.
Exactly. Real. I would love to get some like stories, extracted stories, where they talk about how they survived, you know. And
you know, my favorite bar owner
is you.
No, God, no. When I was opening Grand Army, I talked to a lot of my you know, peers, colleagues, people who were like bar owners and like restaurant owners, and I was you know, getting there. I needed to know, like, you know, I'd managed several bars at the same time, but like. Even like being like a bar director and beverage director for a group, like, and having all these moving parts, like, it's still like, it wasn't as much as understanding all the nuances of ownership, you know, renegotiating your insurance programs for, like, you know, like the staff, and just like understanding like, oh shit, I need to have not like my plumber's number in my phone. I need to have like 3 plumbers' numbers in my phone, right, in case like some shit goes down and I can't get, you know, like, so I talked to all these people and everyone was like, you know what, man, don't do it. Don't do it. The only person who told me to do it, everyone was like, it's going to suck. Don't do it. And Julie Reiner was the only person who was like, you know what, Damon,
do it.
This is going to suck, but you should totally do it.
I think it's absolutely a passion-driven industry. I mean,
hospitality is passion.
Why else would you? Yeah. I mean, usually when I meet people that are like, "Oh, we're opening up another bar," I'm like, "You hate yourself?"
No one, exactly. No one has to do it.
Right.
You want to do it.
Right.
And that's hospitality.
You don't pick it; it picks you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like that. They're, you know, a lot of the people that we've had on this show over the past 8+ years have, you know, like, told us their struggles with like opening business, not just bars and restaurants, but also like starting a brewery or a distillery or winery, you know,
creating a brand,
creating anything, you know,
right, like
starting a magazine, writing books. Like,
if right, it was easy, everyone would do it, right? That's the old adage.
That's what I always say. You know, I always say anything cool is difficult. If surfing were easy, it wouldn't be cool.
Yeah,
exactly.
Surfing is not easy.
The reward for hard work
is more work.
Yeah.
Well, our show just turned very philosophical here.
Yeah,
end.
Right.
No, that's what happens after we have a couple of drams, you know.
I would like to just share real quick how I ended up getting into photography in itself, and I think it ties in because I feel what I'm doing is painting portraits of bartenders, their life's work. I've had a lot of bartenders tell me after they got showcased and they go viral. Now my parents are proud. You know, I went and got that degree just to make mom and dad happy, and they were really disappointed that I stayed in this industry, and now they're proud. So that, To me, makes
yeah.
I love you're what you're saying. It's you're something there, I've thought about a lot.
You're actually out there helping bartenders validate themselves to their peers and possibly their own families.
Yes.
Yeah, that's important.
I've talked to so many younger bartenders at, you know, Tales of the Cocktail, things like Camp Runamug, right. BCB, the Bar Con of Brooklyn, Portland Cocktail, you know, all these different events. I run into them all the time, as you do as well, right, Sutter?
Of course.
And a lot of them come up to me and they ask, they're like, what was it like, you know, getting into, like, what can I expect from getting into this? Because, like, right now, it's like, it feels like I'm kind of being judged on, like, in a negative way on, like, what I'm choosing to be my career path. Because it's not, until recently, and still maybe not very traditional, right? But it's very lucrative. And
I think in the last 10 years, it's become more traditional in cosmopolitan areas.
Sure.
But if you're still in Lone Wolf, Oklahoma,
right,
you're probably, you know, people are cutting their eyes at you if you're saying this is what I'm doing for a living.
And I hear a lot of bartenders still get it. What are you going to do for a real job?
Yeah. Don Rickles said that to me when I was working at ZZ's Clam Bar. Oh my God. Fucking asshole.
I hope your response was, I'll get a real job when you do.
Yeah.
Funny man.
He was just trying to impress Regis. But the thing is, with the accessibility to information through channels like social media and just, honestly, the way that social media works out, social comes first, right? Like you said, like you start going to all these different bars and like being able to showcase these different bartenders and their crafts. I mean, that's what builds a career from a job.
What's romantic to me is, like I said, I'm painting portraits of bartenders. And the reason why I originally got into photography is because my father was the family photographer. And he used to take pictures of just family events, but he had good equipment.
Yeah, well, good eye, too.
He had a great eye, and he had no choice but to take candids of the family. And, you know, it was, no one wanted to pose because everyone was, you know, my weight, my hair, whatever. So he took candids of people. Well, you know, you fast forward 20 years, and those same women who were bitching about how they looked are like, oh, my God, I was beautiful.
Right.
Well, my father passed away in 85. I was 17, and I'm the one that got all these pictures. And I quickly related it to, you know, oh, my God, these are my memories. You know, even if he's not in the image, I can recall the memory and see him behind the camera. So he really modeled it for us. And once I was able to make the connection, I was old enough, I started telling people everywhere I went, take pictures. It doesn't matter what you think you look like. Just take pictures. Because the first thing that people go after when they lose a loved one are the images.
Yeah.
They go for the memories. You know, I want to make sure that in a burning building or a burning house, what's the first thing people go after? So it's
flattering.
Yeah, I was going to say the booze. You know, because you don't want to really, like, feed the fire.
I got some old whiskey.
Because, like, everything we have in here is overproof rum, apparently, so.
It's explosive.
Just from a fire to an explosion.
Right.
Yeah, also, you were 17 and 85.
Photos.
I got to say, you were 17 and 85.
Oh, shit.
Don't be giving away our age.
Yeah, you just added yourself. But also, now I wish this was a TV show because you look so young.
Yeah. You've said more than once, my kid is old enough. And I was like, really?
Damn it, I just gave away.
14 when you had a baby?
I'm lying right now. Like, when I go out and party with these.
We'll do an edit and post. It's cool. Matt, you got that?
Matt, I will pay you money.
Money's in videos.
Any age you want, but you gotta pay more for younger.
For each year, how much does it cost me?
Yeah.
One slice of pizza per year.
It's a 20 per year. Well, Angel, it's been a real delight having you on the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys.
And thanks for filming me again. We'll mention your Instagram again. It's The Cocktail Portal on Instagram. You can go see me over there and other bartenders from all over the world. And you've got 3 years worth of videos up there now. So it's a real treat to go and look at these people from all over the country and world. And we'll keep looking forward to more of your content coming out.
Thanks so much for having
me,
guys.
Really great to have you in the studio today. And we'll connect on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Please. Yes, I'd love that.
We'll go surfing.
Yeah, let's go surfing. It's easy. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna
Want more of the Speakeasy? Follow us and ask questions on Instagram at Speakeasy Podcast or on Twitter at Speakeasy Radio. You can find Damon at Damon Bolte, and you can find me at Creative Drunk on all platforms. Take a moment to write us a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite platform and give us a star rating, 5 if possible. If you're visiting New York City or a resident, stop by the studio and hang out with us during an episode. Reach out beforehand to make sure we'll be here. We'd love to see you. And please support our show by visiting heritageradionetwork.org and clicking on the beating heart to donate.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like. Tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.